Well, good afternoon and welcome. We are just delighted that each and every one of you are able to be here as we remember and celebrate the life and legacy of John Pakila, a man who is a beloved husband and father, grandfather, friend, and brother in Christ. My name is Eric Noss. I'm one of the pastors here at Christ Community Church. I'm honored to be a part of today's remembrances. Also wanted to let you know that Pastor Tim Arrington is with us. He will be leading us in song at a couple of places in the service. Would you unite your hearts with me in prayer now as we begin our time together? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are before you this afternoon, remembering your beloved son, John Pakila. We are so thankful for this man's life, for his legacy, and for his impact on the lives seated here today. Father, thank you for how you communicate your grace to us through people like John, who lived so well. We're so encouraged. And we are deeply encouraged to know that even now, he is with you in glory. And because that's true, today really is a celebration. We ask that as we remember John's life and as we think about the glories of heaven, would you strengthen our faith, give us great hope and confidence and joy in you. May everything that is done today bring glory to your son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to invite you to stand as we sing the great hymn of faith, Amazing Grace. We'll sing three stanzas. The lyrics are in your folder this afternoon if you've got one.
I'm Sebastian Vigueras. I don't know if you know me. I am John's grandson. And before I start crying, I'd like to thank all of you guys for being here and honoring and celebrating the life of my grandfather, slash best friend. Where do I start? Where can I start? My grandpa was the most reliable, caring, understanding person I knew. Throughout my life, he guided, supported me through everything I did, whether that was reading, school, music. He even gave me advice on girls. Throughout his life, my grandfather excelled at most things he did, whether that was basketball or baseball, football, college, the military, and even work. Oh, I need some notes to keep track where I am. Okay. He had an amazing work ethic, man. He was never late, very punctual. He kept that up even after he was stabbed in Vietnam, which took a toll on his life in his latter years. But even with battling COPD, emphysema, valley fever, and a collapsed lung, he always had a smile on his face, always. And he never gave up because he put all of his faith in the Lord. And it was beautiful to see. And even with his declining health, he never shied away from taking me to my games or school and being really the most supportive person in my life. He wished me to see me graduate high school and college, and one day he will. That's a promise. And this was not that long. I thought it was going to be longer in my head. I'd like to end with reading a verse from 2 Corinthians 5:17. It states, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come." I chose this verse in particular to close out with because it shows that even though that his earthly presence and body is not here, that the man we knew and loved so dearly isn't gone. He's born again, strong, healthy, and happy, with no struggles, disease, or pain, which I thank the Lord for. Yeah, that's it.
I'd like to read a passage of scripture now for us. This is a very well-known passage of hope in the Bible, found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. These are the Apostle Paul's words to the Thessalonian Christians as they were facing grief at the loss of some of their friends. And I'll be making some brief comments about this passage a bit later in today's service, but here we read the passage in its fullness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and following. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who descend from of those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." At this time, we'd like to have a time of remembrance. So I want to invite you, if you're a family member or a friend, to come up and share some words of remembrance about John and his life and ways that he has impacted you. So I invite you to come now, just one by one.
I don't know where to start. I'm just going to read. Don't do it. Okay. This is what I wrote. in the day he passed. And this is from me to him. John Pikula, you're my love, my sweetie, my honey, and my baby. The only love in my life, that I'm madly in love with him. What I remember of you, honey. Our first kiss in the hallway. That I'm so awfully in love with you. I remember you being so strong. I remember how we grew old together. When your health was at its worst, you never complained and kept your sense of humor. Last year in the hospital, you danced with me, and it was so amazing. You fought so hard to stay alive and fight with that illness. What you were to me, you were a very loving husband to me. And were the greatest man I knew. You were full of patience. You were a good provider. You were my best friend. Sweetheart, you were the true love of my life. What you taught me, you taught me many things about life. You taught me what love is. You taught me what it means to make sacrifices for the one you love. You taught me so many things about God and Bible. You taught me how to be a faithful servant of God. How you made me feel. You appreciate everything I ever did for you. You wiped my tears when I was sad. How I feel about you. A friend of ours told me once that the price of loving and being loved is high. Sweetheart, I'm so miserable without you. And I'm very much madly in love with you. I miss you so much that it's killing me. Our home is so lonely without you. If God ever give us a chance to be on earth again, we will be husband and wife. We grow up and we will grow old together with good health. I will hold your picture close to my heart. And this is you till the day of my last breath. I love you so much, honey. And my heart cannot wait to be with you again one day for eternal. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jessica, John's daughter. When I was a little girl, I thought Dad was the strongest man alive. He used to stay in really good shape, and he valued a healthy lifestyle. He was funny. He used to do tricks. He used to tell me jokes. He was the first to tell me to pull my finger, and somehow it always worked. He instilled tradition. We ate dinner at the table together. He always said, elbows off the table. We used to bowl almost every Friday, and when he made a strike, we were all rewarded with his very special victory dance. We would go to the Ponderosa. He was extremely patient. It took a lot to get yelled at by him, even as a young child. He enjoyed teaching us. He would practice softball with me as much as I wanted. He made me feel like a champion. He was a traditional man, but he was able to evolve with the changes of our generation. I'm lucky to have seen what a real man looks like. Being the youngest, I was the only kid at home for a period of time. And I remember how strong he was, how hard he worked, how reliable he was. But he allowed me to be a young adult. He let me make my own mistakes without judgment. But if I fell on my butt, he was always there for me. He provided what I needed and what I asked for. We used to go to the gym together a couple of days a week, and he would go at least 5 times a week. And I remember the first day that his health made a turn. We were at the gym one day, and he said that he wasn't feeling well, and we left early. And the next day when I came home from work, he wasn't there. And then I checked the voicemail, and he left me a voicemail saying that he was at the hospital. He called himself an ambulance. His lung had collapsed, and that was the last time he ever went to the gym. And ever since that day, his health just went downhill year over year, and it was very difficult to see. So today, I could be joyful to know, Dad, that you're living in eternity with our Savior, living your best self, and I will forever appreciate and remember you.
So, I'm Rebecca's granddaughter, John's granddaughter. I just wanted to say, he was so understanding and loving, and he loved his family so much, and I wanted to tell him that I'm sorry for not taking time to talk to you and try and make memories with you. I'm so sorry, Papa. And I love you so much. And I'm so happy that you're not suffering anymore and that you can breathe on your own and walk freely.
Okay, I'm John's other granddaughter, and ever since I was a little kid, I spent a pretty good chunk of time with him and my grandparents, so he was like a second father to me. I remember seeing his weights in his office and thinking he was the strongest man ever, just like my aunt, and I used to brag about him to my friends when I was in second grade. He would always call me his sunshine girl and his monkey. We would always wind up the big grandfather clock in his house because he would grab the key from me up top because I was too little to reach. I remember seeing his health go down after a while. And it was hard for me because I didn't want to think of the concept of losing him, and I wasn't ready for this to happen. It just happened so suddenly. But I'm glad now that he's healthy with the Lord, our Savior. And also, I'm trying not to be sad because he used to always tell me that it would make him sad every time I cried. He'd say, if you cry, I cry. So I'm trying to make the best of everything that happened.
At this time, we'll be able to enjoy a video tribute to John.
I am sailing home again, across the sea. I am sailing stormy waters to be near you, to be free. Thank you.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Yeah. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel when I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah, yeah, I can only imagine. Oh, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to sing it all? I can only imagine. Oh, I can only imagine. And all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says this: "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." We don't want you to grieve as others do who have no hope. These are the words of the Apostle Paul, spoken to the Thessalonian Christians. They were grieving. the loss of some of their Christian friends. And Paul writes to encourage them. He says their knowledge of Christ should change the way they grieve. They should know that right now their deceased loved ones are with Christ in heaven, and one day when Christ returns, they will rise again with resurrection bodies to live forever in a new world. And so Paul says to them, I don't want you to grieve as others do who have no hope. I think we learn two very helpful lessons from these wonderful words of Paul. First, we learn that it's okay for Christians to grieve. And secondly, we learn that Christians should grieve as those who have hope. Let's take a look at those two points. First, it's okay for Christian believers to grieve. Do you realize that? Sometimes, as people of deep faith in Christ, we feel guilty about grieving, don't we? We think, aren't we supposed to be happy? Isn't John with Christ? Shouldn't it be pure celebration? And so we stuff our emotions out of guilt. Well, notice Paul doesn't say in our key verse here, I don't want you to grieve, full stop. He doesn't say that. Rather, Paul says, I don't want you to grieve like those who have no hope. Paul's assumption in the passage is that the Thessalonians will, in fact, grieve. They should have a hope-filled grief, but grief nonetheless. And this assumption is that Christians will, in fact, mourn. It's okay to feel the weight of sorrow and the weight of loss when a loved one dies. Well, we are here today to grieve the loss and death of our dear friend and brother, John Pakila. People might say, why all the sorrow? Why all the long face? John lived a good, long, fruitful life, didn't he? He died at a blessed age. What's everybody so sad about? Isn't death just the natural course of things, the circle of life? Let's put away our tears, perhaps they say. Really? Is that how we should think of this? No. Listen, Sue, family, friends, the Bible never treats death as just the natural course of things. No, according to the Bible, death has a nasty sting. According to the Bible, death is the enemy. Death is the result of man's sin, and it's the result of the world's corruption under God's curse and judgment. Death is not the way things are meant to be. Death is the enemy. It hurts, and God intends indeed to fix it, but for now, we mourn. It is the biblical norm to mourn. And so, Pakila family, I would say to you, I want you to know that today it is fitting to grieve deeply about the loss of your wonderful husband and father and grandfather. It's okay to cry and lament and feel the depth of sorrow, and it's okay even to be angry at death, even as we rejoice in the memory of John's earthly life. God encourages us to mourn. Don't dry your tears. Don't stuff your sorrow. Don't mask your pain. John's life is a celebration, but it's also a loss of someone special. And we honor him with our sorrow. And yet, point number two, Christian believers should grieve as those who have hope. Those who have hope. Paul says, I don't want you to grieve like those who have no hope. Hope is a fascinating word in the Bible. When the Bible uses the word hope, it doesn't mean wishful thinking, like I really hope to get a bicycle for Christmas, or I really hope she says yes when I go down on one knee. No, biblical hope, it doesn't mean wishful thinking. It means a sure confidence in future things, a sure confidence in future things. Biblical hope is deep assurance that all of God's promises will, in fact, come true. I like to use this example. It's like a family on a road trip who can't wait to finally arrive at their final destination. They know that they're going to get there. They are sure that they'll get there eventually. It's just a matter of time, right? That's hope. It's sure confidence in future things. Well, Paul says that even as we feel the weight of sorrow about death, even as we grieve, even as we feel death's sting, we grieve as those who have hope. Why? Because we hope in the one that defeated death. Jesus Christ died on a cross in payment for sin. Then he rose again bodily to life, and he defeated the power of death forever. And now all those who trust in Jesus have hope that the moment that they die, their soul will go to be with Jesus. And one day, they will live in a resurrection body with him in a new heaven and a new earth forever. That is our hope. Resurrection life for all eternity, and it is guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus. So friends, let me remind you of where John is right now, this very moment. And we know he's there because he put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation, didn't he? The split second when John's body died, the Bible tells us that his spirit went to be with Christ in heaven. And even now, John is there in heaven, and he is in the presence of Christ, and he's waiting. He is waiting for that final day when Christ will return to this earth, and just like every believer, John will receive his resurrection body too. That's John's hope. That should be our hope as well. It's hope in Christ. It is sure confidence in him. Sure confidence and expectation of resurrection glory. You know, one of my favorite quotes about our hope comes from the famous 19th century evangelist, a man by the name of Dwight L. Moody, D.L. Moody. Well, he once made this statement about his death. He said, quote, "Someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Norfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now." In the same way, John Pakila is more alive now than ever before because he is face to face with Jesus Christ. And that reality gives us hope. And so we must grieve with hope. Hope that John is indeed with Christ. Hope that one day we can see him too. Hope that John is destined for an eternity in a new heaven and a new earth in a resurrection body with Jesus, and one day we'll be there with him as well. Friends, we must grieve, but we must grieve as those who have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's real tension here, isn't there? Sadness and yet hope. Grief and yet sure confidence. The sting of death and the joy of knowing that John is indeed with Christ. We must feel both of these realities at the same time. Reminds me of a story. You know, in recent years, I read the biography of a man named Louis Zamperini. Louis Zamperini was a famous track star whose plane went down, and he was captured in World War II, captured by the Japanese and held in the POW camp for several years. Surviving against the most incredible odds. Well, there's a scene in that book where the prisoners in that POW camp, they finally catch sight of these American bombers that are flying over the enemy camps where they were held. And in according to the book, the American POWs are instantly filled. When they see those bombers, they're instantly filled with incredible hope. Why? Because when they saw those bombers, they knew that victory and release from that camp was merely a matter of time. Those American bombers were a signal of hope. Those airplanes guaranteed that liberating soldiers were on their way. Well, like those POWs, we live in the brokenness of this world where death stings and loved ones like John die. And yet, we have hope because we've been given the signal of hope. Jesus' resurrection from the dead is that signal of hope. It's a hope that all who trust in him will live forever too. Friends, it's just a matter of time before all of you who trust in Christ as your Savior will see John again. in resurrection glory. In the meantime, we grieve, but we grieve as those who have great hope. Sue and family, be encouraged by these words, because these are God's words to you. Let us pray. Father, drive these truths deep into our hearts, that in the midst of great grief, we might also have amazing joy as we think of the glories of heaven and the reality that John is there with you. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Please join me in a closing prayer. And now, Father, we commit these remembrances, memories, and the celebration of life to you. Fill us with joy and hope. Make us faithful to live into the legacy that John leaves, that the values and character that he stood for would live on in our lives. Thank you for his imprint. Be glorified in all that has been done today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray it. Amen. In just a moment, the row of family members will be dismissed, and they'll take their time to go back to the back of the worship center. And then you're all dismissed, and you can go ahead and cycle back to greet the family in that space. I know that they would love to hear words of encouragement from you. Let's be dismissed then with this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.